KFSR presents First Ladies Focus, the personal stories behind people who love Fresno State. Featuring Fresno State's First Lady, Mrs. Mary Castro, and KFSR Program Director, Julie Logan, 90.7 KFSR.
Good morning and welcome. I'm Julie Logan, along with my co-host, Fresno State's First Lady, Mrs. Mary Castro. Good morning, Mrs. Castro.
Good morning, Julie.
We're excited to have another very special guest with us today. I'll let you make the introductions as always.
Thank you, Julie. Well, I'm very excited this morning to have a local celebrity as our guest. He is Ryan Jacobson. He's from Easton. He's the executive director for the Fresno County Farm Bureau, which oversees the administration of 4,000 plus members in the agricultural industry. And he's also the host of Valley's Gold, which is a show on PBS that goes around to different areas in the valley and highlights the process of planting, tending, harvesting, and processing the variety of different fruits and vegetables that come out of our great valley. Thank you for being here, Ryan.
Thanks for having me, guys.
It's nice to meet you, Ryan.
Thanks.
Did you bring any fruit with you?
You know what? You should. Maybe we should have thought about this a little bit more. Maybe more towards May and June. I could have helped you out. It's a little bit in the mid-season right now. So.
Well, he's going to be close on the grapes here because I've seen some fantastic pictures you've been posting up on Facebook of how fast your grapes are coming along.
It's been an unusual year, and I think nobody would question that right now. We're looking at, we're almost 3 weeks early now at this point. I mean, it just depends two, three weeks, but nevertheless, it means that we're going to see some extremely early times this year.
It's been warm.
Yes, it has. Yes, it has. And we pretty much, I think you guys both know, we had no winter. I mean, we had December, which was very cold, and January and February looked like we were probably more like in a Hawaiian type of weather than anything.
Right.
So with the lack of fog and everything else, everything really expedited this year. And unfortunately, like I said, and there's the good and bad with it, but the unfortunate side of it, it also is the result of having no rain and the water situation, obviously, that we're in right now.
How is that going to affect the yield that you're going to have or that you anticipate?
Personally, for our farm, we're actually looking like it is going to be a little bit more of a down year. It looks like a lot of our stuff is below average. It's obviously a little early to tell because the bunches can surprise you. One of the fun things when you look at the bunches right now is you can do bunch counts and everything you want, but it doesn't mean what the bunches are going to represent when it comes harvest time. So at this time, you're always optimistic that everything's going to turn out. And, again, we're in a lot better situation than a lot of folks out there just for the simple fact that, I have a lot of good friends and farmers that obviously weren't able to plant any crops this year just because of the situation and not having the adequate water supplies to do that.
Right. So sad. Let's talk about growing up in Easton. Now, when you and I met, I said, yay, Easton, because someone from Layton can appreciate another person being from a town where you have to, when you're describing where you are in California, you just keep going to bigger cities around you. And then eventually you hit on something that sounds familiar, right?
Yep.
And you are the oldest of three children. Tell us about what it was like growing up in Easton. And your family has a long history. You're fourth generation in farming.
Yes, very, very lucky. When we talk about the fourth generation, that's on both sides of my family, both my maternal and paternal side. The paternal side, believe it or not, catty corner from my house and directly right across the street is the property that my great-grandparents purchased and bought in the late 1890s when they moved over here, still in the family. So my grandfather, who will turn 90 in August, still lives on the property. He was born on the property.
Oh, I love that.
There still farms it. There is one row, actually, of 120-year-old Thompson vines that are still on the property. So very, very neat history there.
And
My dad grew up on the property, literally a quarter mile down the street. So where my house is, I'm one of the very few people, Mary and Julie, that you'll actually meet in your life that I have spent every single day of my life in the same house. I have an unusual story in the sense that the house I grew up in, went to Fresno State, lived at home just for expense purposes, wanted to save money.
Uh-huh.
And then my wife and I got engaged during that time, and we ended up buying the house from my parents. They ended up actually finally building the house that they always intended to out on our ranch out there. Uh-huh. And so literally I never left home, or as my parents say, I kicked them out. So
fantastic story.
Yeah, they were encouraging you to run away, but you never listened?
Pretty much. That was pretty much the case.
You hear that at home?
Yeah.
We're going to have to leave because I don't think he's going anywhere.
Yeah, this kid's not going
that
anywhere.
Pretty much was the conversation. So it was one of those things. We had little animal facilities. I had the corrals and stuff there. That was my thing. I loved doing that.
Uh-huh.
That really wasn't their thing. So they were more than happy to let me take that over. And so I purchased from them. They built a house, and today my wife and I call that home. So
oh, that's great. great legacy for your kids.
That is beautiful story. And your grandparents, you still have your grandfather there?
Yes, my paternal grandparents are both alive. Like I said, my grandfather will be 90 this coming August, and he still farms every day. It's still one of those spectacular stories. On my maternal side, unfortunately, 5 years ago, we lost my grandparents. But my parents, my mom and dad, were partners with my maternal grandparents for many years in our grape operation. We farmed table and wine grapes, and they were partners and worked together for several years.
So did your parents live on neighboring farms? Is that how they met?
When you talk about my maternal side, they actually grew up, my mom, her first years were spent over in the Biola area. And of course, one of those other same type of stories, not a lot of people know where Biola is, but hopefully a lot of the audience here does. And then, they moved over when she was in sixth grade, they moved over to the Easton area. And so they actually grew up, I believe, when they finally moved over there, they were about a mile apart. So,
wow.
I'm one of those stories that you don't hear a lot of anymore, but, I had 10 cousins on both sides of the family. The farthest cousin lived 2.5 miles away.
Oh, that's the best. Those are your best friends growing up.
Yep. And I had one aunt that lived really far away. She was in the city of Fresno. So that was the farthest.
The big city.
Yeah, that was the big city of Fresno. So that she actually lived the farthest from the family. But that was, and that was several different families. We're talking, five different families that had kids that actually had all of them within that short relative area. So,
and did many of them stay in Easton?
Actually, most of them, not all of them, but a good majority of them did stay. And, it was neat because we all went to the same grammar school. All went to the same high school, so it was definitely everybody knew our name around there. So
you can't get away with anything in that situation.
Then there's that part, right?
Yeah. Well, it probably was more of a situation for my cousins more than it was for me. I wasn't too much of a troublemaker, but for some of the others, it might have been.
Well, the thing about growing up in a small town like that where everybody knows your parents and your grandparents in your case, you better toe the line because it's going to get back.
There are no secrets.
Absolutely.
You can't even peel out, I remember there was one day I was driving. I went out of a gravel driveway and I peeled out. And man, somebody was on the phone to my grandma to tell her that, your granddaughter's driving like a crazy woman. And I got home and I wasn't even doing anything crazy at that moment. But, sometimes that's things catch up with you.
Yep, absolutely. I understand that.
Well, how wonderful that your son Maverick is going to get to grow up in that environment with all that love and all the family members around him.
Yeah, we're so fortunate. And, obviously Maverick has a lot of opportunities to do a lot of things in his life, but it is neat to see. I mean, he's just turned 2.5 and to see that you just have that farmer characteristic in him. And it's hard to describe, but he can't stand being inside, wants to be outside in the vineyard. It's innate. I cannot make him do that. Awesome. So.
Well, and there is a perfect example of a picture says 1,000 words. There's a picture of Maverick in his tidy whities in the vineyard. Yeah. And it is one of the cutest. I think that should just be advertised everywhere. This is where farming starts. Aww. This is where the love for the earth and for taking care of and preserving and appreciating what goes on here in the Central Valley. This is where it starts. You see his face. He's just so excited and he's out there just loving it.
And that's a daily ritual, believe it or not. He loves loves everything about it. So,
well, you're really passing it on. What type of things did you do when you were growing up? You said you had some animals. Did you do FFA or 4-H?
I was a 4-H'er. Showed very heavily for 4-H. Actually, through college, I was seventh grade through college. I showed beef animals, and it really drove my love for, and as we'll talk about later, my major here at Fresno State. It was a great opportunity. Loved the animals. I was one of those kids that it was on the funny side that a lot of kids do the project so that they're able to show at the fair and participate in all that. I hated that side of it. I hated the showmanship. I hated going to the fair and all that kind of good stuff. I loved the actual physical process of raising the animal and just building that. You just build that relationship with the animal.
Right.
And for people that haven't done that on a one-on-one type of deal with an animal, it's hard to explain. But like I said, for me, I just absolutely loved it. I mean, it was just a real connection and really built my love for animals.
And I think, too, that everybody understands developing a relationship with a cat or a dog or, a common pet, but they don't understand the type of feedback that you get from livestock is, in their eyes and different types of breeds. My dad for a long time milked Jersey cows and I loved their faces and they were like a big puppy because they would follow you around.
Yep.
They just have such a beautiful facial structure to them.
And when you talk about a Jersey calf, there's not any more expressive eyes in the animal world than a Jersey calf's eyes. I mean, they're right. They are so beautiful. So
they come out with a big eyelash.
Yeah.
And you're done.
That's it. So what brought you to Fresno State?
Well, there was a couple things. As I talked about my love of animals, and when we talk about high school, I mean, my other claim to fame was basketball. Washington Union basketball was a big deal back then, and so that's the reason I didn't do FFA, is that unlike most kids that came here with a strong agricultural background, I wasn't able to participate in FFA simply because I was so heavy on the basketball side. Basketball at Washington Union was 11 months out of the year. I mean, I was very proud state champion. I had colleagues that went on, or former teammates that went on to the NBA, Division I basketball. Obviously, I wasn't going that direction. I was going more of the academic route. Mm-hmm. And as I was looking around for schools, quite honestly, there were no other choices for me. It was kind of funny that I only applied at Fresno State. I love the facilities here.
Wonderful.
It was just the connection I had with just some of the professors as I visited here as a senior, and just knew that was the place I wanted to go. And and I wasn't the same person then as I am now, I'll flat out tell you. Here I am talking on the radio. I probably wouldn't have done that when I was a senior in high school. I was more on the shy side, didn't talk a whole lot. And I was involved in projects, but not overly involved. And like I said, basketball and beef animals was my world. But when it came to animal science, I decided I wanted to be a large animal veterinarian, spend some time with my great uncle in the Lodi area who helped train me on that side of things. And so Fresno State was the place to go for that type of major. And I was so excited to come here.
Perfect. And you were part of the Smitkants Family Honors College.
Correct. I was formerly the very last class of the Rodman Scholars, which was the predecessor of the Smit Camp. Mm-hmm. So we were kind of wrapped in or folded into the Smit Camp when it took place. But very lucky that I received that scholarship. And I always like to remind people I had the best world, in the sense that I was kind of an honorary Smit Camp. But they pretty much just gave us the money and said, hey, go take care of your GPA and you're good with us. So no class restrictions or everything else. We were given the check. And so very, very blessed. I became very involved in that program and was in there from the very beginning when I started school here. So it really was. I mean, Fresno State was my first choice. I was coming here, but it was that extra icing on the cake that really made it that much better.
I'm sure they're happy with how that all worked out with you.
I think it depends.
They're happy with their investment.
It depends who you talk to, but I think most folks are okay with it.
So when you were here and you were studying animal science, what was it about this program at Fresno State that made you feel like you had really made the right choice?
Without a doubt. And everybody, I think you talk to a lot of folks as they go through college, they always had those mentors that really influenced their college career. I mean, I had that. And without a doubt, the hands-on experience that they provided me, it really was. I mean, I know it's cliche to say, but it was so much more than the textbook.
Yes.
First off, being a pre-vet animal science major, the one thing that folks probably don't think about is, it's animal science. Mm-hmm. I took a ton of science classes. In fact, when I look back on how much school I had in comparison to other folks, just because the labs, the labs eat up so much of your time there. And it was an incredible experience. But then you get to the animal side. And I mean, physically, yeah, we did have the textbook side where we were learning all this stuff, but every class essentially had a lab that we were physically out there doing something. And then it was the above and beyond. I mean, the above and beyond was the actual physically being able to do some things with our hands that I think there's very few other kids that throughout the country that are getting to do that. I mean, literally everything from, the dairy experience. I mean, I did a trial project. It was not even part of a class, just a trial project with a couple of my professors here. And, to get that kind of real world experience was just phenomenal.
That hands-on experience sometimes can make the difference between success and not.
Well, and I think for so many kids, as we talk about career tech programs and that type of stuff, that hands-on program is what just drives the kids in the classroom. And that's what keeps them coming back for more and more. It's because they are getting that taste of, hey, this is what I get to do. And, you hear so much about so many universities do go more to the textbook, theoretical. And I will tell you to the contrary here at Fresno State, they do that part very well, but the physical hands-on and the facilities, I mean, you literally walk across Barstow Avenue, you're in class and 10 minutes later, you're on any facility, whether it's the beef unit, sheep unit, dairy unit. I mean, any of those, you physically within 10 minutes can be on any of those, physically touching, smelling, feeling all the parts of the animals. So,
right. And that's something that's unique to our campus. Yep. And that's something that President Castro receives compliments on all the time, that at a lot of schools that teach agriculture, you have the farm or the ranch is very far away from it. So students are split between having to do their classes and having to divide up their world. but having it here together, you know, and I feel that it gives the industry the respect it deserves.
Absolutely.
Is that, you know, there is a huge technical part to farming and to animal science that you need to know, but you also need to have that real world experience of being, like you said, touching, feeling, smelling the animal. You're right in it all the time.
And it's just, and the other thing that really, you know, made my experience here was just the diversity of students here. It's phenomenal. I mean, you do have the kids that come from the FFA. You have the kids that have the very strong production side. But then you get kids from the middle of LA that are all of a sudden, they're an animal science major. And you start scratching your head and like, no, this kid's really serious about what they're doing. And
right.
So just the stories and the background and just, it really drove my passion to even become greaterly involved in the agricultural industry because of what they were able to provide me.
Mm-hmm. While you were here at Fresno State, you were also the ASI president, not once, but twice.
Twice, yes. crazy story about that in the sense that, again, I really do sincerely mean that if you were to talk to my classmates in high school and would have said I would have went on to student body president at Fresno State, none of them would have believed me. But I've always been kind of one of those people that step into voids when a person's needed. And I just flat out, one of those things, it was the December before my senior year, during my junior year there, that there was a vacancy actually on the student government Senate board. And so I applied for it, it got on. And, you know, 3 months later was the application period for president and nobody was running that I really thought would do a great job. And I'm like, I might as well try. So it was fun. I ran for it and very fortunately won very, very easily. And as I got into office, I really had a great connection and passion and just the opportunity to experience. And during that time, Dr. Welty, I mean, just really opened up doors and, you know, made it accessible for students to participate in just every facet of leadership here on the campus. And so really got an opportunity to do that. Really enjoyed it. Really loved it.
Well, you obviously did a good job if they reelected
yeah,
you.
Yeah, reelected me. And actually at that time, and I could be wrong, but at that time, I think I was the first graduate student body president. I did my senior year for my undergraduate, and then when I was reelected, I was actually in my MBA program, so my first year of my graduate program. And again, that gave me a whole different opportunity because all my classes were at night.
Uh-huh.
And so I essentially became a full-time student body president, not having to worry about going to class during the day because that was my job, was being student body president. So gave me a whole different perspective and interaction with the campus that I really did enjoy.
So I think that it probably just took your passion for the campus to another level because in that position, you learned about all the different areas of the campus.
Absolutely. At one time, this is not a joke, I think I was on 32 committees. Yeah. I mean, there's, you know, campus likes, you know, they have committees for just about everything you can imagine. And obviously being the student body president, you could decide which ones you want to participate in, which ones you wouldn't. But it just, I really enjoyed that interaction with staff, faculty, and other students. That again, so many of those relationships I made during that time, I still have today. So that's been like I said, just a very important part of my life that has helped driven to me the success I've had today.
Well, talking about relationships that you developed during that time, tell us how you met Ashley.
Well, Ashley, as I mentioned, I was the last class of the Rodmans. Ashley was actually the very first class of the Smit camps.
Oh.
there was obviously some interaction between the classes there and had met her my freshman year, and we started dating soon after. And it's hard to believe, but we've been together, would be 14 years this year. So,
great.
So yes, we're both Fresno State alums, very proud alums. And, we hit it off. And like I said, as the rest goes, it was, we've done great since.
Now, is Ashley's family also, does she come from a farming family?
She does not come from a farming background. She comes from the Sanger area, but she grew up in a family. They have a business here in Clovis that doesn't have anything to do with agriculture. So it's been, she grew up on somewhat of a rural residence out in the Sanger area, so knew a little bit about agriculture, but she definitely knows a whole lot more now. So.
Oh, yes. She better. So I see here that you have your master's degree in business administration, and you spoke about doing pre-vet. What made you choose to go towards a business focus?
That's a fantastic question that I get asked all the time. Well, first off, I mean, as I mentioned, growing up on a farm, I had the production side behind me, and I really did have all intentions of becoming a large animal veterinarian. It was actually because, and I know this sounds probably contrary to what most people would think, it was because of my hands-on experience with the veterinary work that I had done previously to come into Fresno State that I had decided against becoming a veterinarian, and simply because I loved the opportunity, I loved the job, loved it. But it really came down to, could I imagine the next 40 years of my life with a glove on my arm?
Oh.
And for me, that decision was pretty straightforward. Like, no, I probably can't do that, because I was at that point became very interactive. I liked the association with our folks, and not that you don't get to do that as a veterinarian, but I think it was it just wasn't quite what I was looking for. And it was actually Dr. Welty at the time and the vice president of student affairs, like, hey, why don't you, you're not sure what you're doing, a master's ain't going to hurt you. And so I went over to the MBA program and at that time talked to Dr. Kepler, who was in charge of the program. I just thought it was a good fit. I had now my production side, my animal science side, and having that business exposure in ag is something that really I thought would make me more credible and help me, assist me get into the industry. And so went over there and just fell in love with the program. And over there, right, I will tell you the single item that I think probably has made such a difference in my life was the international influence I had. At that time, almost 50% of the students were international students. Mm-hmm. They became very good friends of mine, many of them, and still make those contacts today. And like I said, it really made a difference in my life to hear how different places of the world do business and just those relationships I interacted with them on.
That's great. You know, you talked about being on 32 different committees, and it looks like that was just some good training for you, because you are still very involved on a lot of major boards and committees. You're on the Fresno Irrigation District, which obviously has a lot going on right now.
Absolutely.
With all the issues with the drought. The Fresno State Ag One Foundation, a lot of exciting things happening there.
Yep.
And with the Commission on Ag that President Castro's put together, and we're waiting to hear that report that's going to
yep.
come out on the 9th.
Just a few weeks away, yep.
The Craig School of Business, as well as being involved with the Easton's Lions Club. So what do you do with the Lions Club?
Lions Club, that's one of those things. I actually joined the Lions Club, and this is an oddity. I joined when I was 18, right when I got out of high school.
That is unusual.
My dad had joined, yeah. And service clubs, I mean, I love service clubs, but the fact is it's becoming more difficult and difficult to get folks involved in them, and especially mm-hmm. younger people. And so I joined right away, and my family's biggest thing or connection to that organization is every year the Big Fresno Fair, they have that gorgeous agricultural display
yes.
that goes on in the ag building there. My family and I do all the grapes for the Easton booth.
Oh,
and so that, and believe it or not,
that's a huge project.
It's a huge project. And but what we do that for is every single ribbon that's on that display has a price associated with it.
Mm.
And so if we actually get, awards and prices associated with it, we get those awards, and that's donations to the community. So it goes to the Lions Club, and they're able to give that to the high school, the grammar schools, the T-ball programs, and all that
wonderful.
Kind of good stuff. So
that's great. So we're running out of time, but I do want to share a couple of your hobbies. I know you're still a huge basketball fan and a great supporter for our Fresno State teams. You're also a hunter, and I have seen a picture of, I believe, the largest animal that I have seen bagged. Tell us about how you got the bison.
Well, the bison was one of those things that I do love hunting. I don't do enough of it because, like all of us, we get so busy with family lives and work lives. But the bison is, for me, was a thing I really wanted simply because I love American history.
Yes.
And when you talk American West history, what more symbolizes that than
that's
the bison?
That's the picture.
I went bison hunting actually here in California, but got a phenomenal animal that people are going to have to come visit me at my office to see there pretty soon. Hopefully I'll get it by the end of the year, but it's going to make a gorgeous mount. So.
And how many pounds of meat did you get out of that?
Oh, you don't want to know. It's more bison meat than I ever wanted. It was 500 something pounds of bison meat.
So if anybody has any bison recipes, they need to send them your way, right?
Yep. But it's very good. I will tell you, it's very good.
You don't see those that often.
You don't. You don't see enough people eating enough bison, but I'll tell you, it's a very, very good meat.
Describe the flavor of it in relation to beef.
Again, I love beef, but bison just has that little bit of, it has flavor, but it's not the wild game flavor that you're used to if you eat deer or something like that. It just has that distinctive taste, kind of like lamb. I love lamb. I'm personally,
I do too.
My wife loves lamb. We love it because it has that flavor to it that really just sets it apart, and that's the bison. It's hard to explain, but it's not overbearing, but it's enough to give it that bite. So
what are some ways that you've cooked it already?
Hamburgers are the best way. I mean, I love hamburgers. I mean, so bison burgers are the way to go. But a lot of times the thing with bison is you just got to make sure you don't overdo it when you do steaks, because it has a flavor or a look to it that's just bright red. I mean, it's just a dark bright red, and it's hard to describe. But you just got to make sure that's still there when you're eating it, because otherwise you can't overcook it pretty easily. So much more easier than you can just a regular beef steak.
That sounds fun. I think you could come up with a lot of sausages, different varieties. Maybe get together with our meat science professor.
Exactly.
And you guys could
try something different.
Some new things. And then I heard about your celebrity crush. that you...
Oh, my celebrity crush. That's funny. I think I kind of know where you're going with this.
I heard that you would basically do anything for tickets to see Taylor Swift.
Yeah, I'm a huge Taylor Swift fan, and people give me a hard time about that, but I just love her music. I mean, and actually, I was very lucky this last year. I actually went to her concert down at the Staples Center in L.A., and got to see that, which was absolutely phenomenal. She's releasing a new album this year. I am praying really, really hard here that she makes it to the Save Mart Center. She comes to Fresno because I think I might have some connections to hopefully get to meet her.
Oh, so. You think? Okay. Well, do you have any other projects happening right now that you'd like to let our listeners know about?
Well, I think for me, it's just it's been a tremendous honor. I'm currently serving as the AgOne president for the foundation here at Fresno State. It's the fundraising arm for the Jordan College of Agricultural Sciences and Technology. And for me, it's just been an incredible endeavor to be a part of an organization that's, you know, our number one thing is, you know, raising funds for student scholarships and raising funds for programs that take place in the Jordan College there. And to be a part of that, to see how much the Jordan College has affected people's lives, seeing it from a different angle has been very, very important to me. And I've really enjoyed the experience. And it's just something I'm so glad I've done.
Well, thank you so much for all your involvement and your passion for Fresno State. Anybody who meets you, it's something that just radiates out of you, how much you love the Valley. And it's exciting to get to hear you talk about your family's deep roots in this area and to see you pass on that passion to your son. Thank you so much for being a mentor to our students also and for being here today.
Oh, I appreciate it. Thank you guys for giving me the opportunity to talk about it.
It's so nice to meet you. Thanks again to our very special guest, Ryan Jacobson, and of course, my co-host, Fresno State's First Lady, Mrs. Mary Castro. Thanks for joining us this morning, and please join us again next Sunday morning at 10 for another First Lady's Focus on KFSR. We're on the air at 90.7 FM and streaming worldwide at www.kfsr.org.
KFSR presents First Lady's Focus every Sunday morning at 10. For a complete program schedule, visit KFSR.org.